Listen up, Australia. He's not here. He's off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch. So we've got some best bits for you. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Mickey's back live next Monday. It's a big afternoon of guests, though, on Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Jim Jeffries is going to join us. Denise Scott will be on the show. We've got a chick flick alert coming up in just a moment. World news and more. Let's just get into it, huh? For a big Monday, it's Malloy's Rostered Week Off right here.
This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Abort cinema. Repeat. This is not a drill. Warning. Warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Whitney, tell me what these idiots are up to.
All right, part of Khan, there was a biopic made for Celine Dion. You know how much I adore her. Wow, however,
it's just horrific.
It's sad.
There's a twist with this. They couldn't get the rights or the authorization to any of Celine's music. It's a French film, so they made it up. Her music up.
Oh, no. Also, it's not even her songs.
Oh. Also, there is an adult playing a 5-year-old Celine.
What sort of young looking?
Did I miss a meeting? This ticks a few boxes. It's based on Celine Dion. Mm. B, it's a French movie. Mm. C, it involves her music, but not just her music, a watered down, diluted version.
A fake version of her music, not real music.
Mm. I've got my hands on the trailer here. Right. Most of it's in French.
Okay.
I can't actually understand what it is, but I get the vibe of the things, gentlemen, and this is a Category 5. Listen up.
Si jamais un jour ton vieux bouc qui passe par-dessus la barrière. On a un diamant brut. J'ai presque manqué de pleurer.
Je m'appelle Michel.
Il y a quand même un petit trafic à effectuer.
Sounds terrible.
It sounds like
Make
her.
It stop.
It sounds like her.
Pour madame, maman, je tombe en amour. Puis je suis sûre que lui, c'est pareil. Everywhere
I go. Cette folie-là, on va pas la faire, Aline.
Garde-moi bien droit. On a lane I've never
seen. No! No! Do not go near that cinema. A French film about Celine Dion with not her music.
I'd still go.
Oh, my God. You know what? Who plays her husband?
I don't know.
Who plays her dead husband?
Don't say that.
No, she died.
I'm aware he died. Thank you.
He got off lightly.
Oh, stop it. Celine is fantastic.
He's not around for this. I'd like to play his...
Would you?
Remember when you sent me to see Celine? Happiest night of my life.
Well, I must have been trying to get out of something.
Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It is the Rostered Week Off. No Mick in studio this week. He's back on Monday, although we are jumping into the archives and discovering nuggets of joy like this discussion.
Daniel Craig.
Oh, yeah.
The current James Bond.
007.
He's worth, I think, 160 mil.
Whew.
Is saying he's not going to give his kids a cent. Oh. Says it's distasteful to pass on inheritance to children. Have you got the story?
Yeah, here from Channel 9.
He's worth $160 million. His kids will not be getting a whiff of it. He said that he thinks inheriting money is distasteful. He said his philosophy is to get rid of it or give it away to charity.
No, I wouldn't have thought distasteful. Yeah. The kids are banking on that.
Can we have a word, Dad? What are you doing, Dad?
No.
Oh, mate.
It's not worth it.
My boys would go bonkers.
Oh, they'll go. Then they will go.
They'll take me early.
I mean,
take me out.
You're loaded, so, you know. You're
getting stuffed, Dave. So, Daniel Craig, you went $160 million. Today, the question is, what has your dad done to annoy you, embarrass you, or offend you?
Yeah.
133353. My dad's a bit of a penny pincher. My dad, he was on the big ones, he was fine.
Yes.
On the small ones, gee, he could drive you mad.
Really?
A couple of things.
Yeah.
Like rather than put the heating on, he'd go and put on a lumberjacket. So we'd be watching TV, he'd go, it's a bit cold. He'd go, yeah, he'd go and get a lumberjacket
Put the heater on. Isn't it interesting?
We used to drive around sometimes looking for a parking meter that still had time on it.
Really? So you get some free, it's a little bit of a tight ass, Mr. Molloy.
Well, not on the big ones.
Okay.
As I said, this stuff. And we spent a lot of time in the South Pacific.
Gotcha.
Where it was okay, you know, to barter. You go, how much is this?
Of course.
I'll give you this. Yes. However, when you're at the Coles checkout and they go, that'll be $46.50, yes. and he yes. goes, I'll give you 30.
They're not interested, are they?
I go, Dad, you no. can't. That doesn't funny. Work here, mate. That's not how we operate.
Oh, that's no, so
dad.
Good.
No
so
good. Yellow card nah. out of the pool. What about you? Is your well, dad ever... Yeah, the one thing you won't forgive your dad for?
There is one thing that happened. So in 1985, Bruce Springsteen had Born in the USA, the album, and he came out to Australia to tour. And he came to Melbourne. My brother had a ticket to go see Bruce. So yeah. we drove from Ballarat to Melbourne with Dad
yeah.
and dropped Andrew, my brother, off to see Bruce. Now, as we pulled up, there was a cop standing there going, oh, g'day, Lee. So it was a guy that Dad taught footy with.
Yeah.
So Dad was a coach, and he was one of his players who's now a cop. He said, mate, I've got a bunch of tickets here for Bruce from these old scalpers. Do you want them? Dad's gone, nah, it's all right, mate. See you later. I could have gone in to see Bruce Springsteen, but Dad said, wave them off. Nah. No, thanks. I missed out on seeing Bruce Springsteen, thanks to Dad.
That is no
good. Could have seen him.
Good.
1985, born in the USA, for God's sakes.
Okay, just to get the ball rolling, Steve.
G'day, Steve.
Well, I had a little pup, a little white Alsatian. I got a feck, had it for about 2 weeks, really loved me, little dog, and all of a sudden it went missing. And I didn't find out later on. He took it down to the pub and sold it. What's the deal with it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, bloody
hell. Lisa, what happened to you?
Well, Mick, it's a very sad story. My dad put a screwdriver through my red Sharon football that I'd only had for a couple of weeks.
Why?
Well, I'd lined up the caravan door in the backyard as my goal and straight through the middle, actually, and put a big dent in it. So I hit under the caravan.
Not the Jayco.
Yeah, as the screwdriver went through the leather, I was hiding under the caravan.
Oh, Lisa.
You can't take to the ship.
Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It is the Rostered Week Off. Thanks so much for tuning in. Of course, you can always get more Mick in your ears Monday to Friday outside showtimes with the podcast that we have up. Wherever you get your podcast, perhaps the Listen app, easy way to find it there as well. We're talking about Daniel Craig throughout the hour and the fact that he won't give any of his kids his inheritance worth a packet as well. We spoke to Jim Jefferies about it.
Now, you already have a young son and you have another child coming, on the way. Yeah, right. What type of father are you going to be? Daniel Craig said he's got $160 million, and he's not going to give his kids a cent.
No.
Seems a bit stingy, but you know his theory is inheritance reeks no great profit for
them. I tell you, George Lazenby played my dad in my sitcom, right? And he played Magda Sabansky's husband. You know, Magda played my mum, and George. It turns out that every couple of years, just an illegitimate child shows up on George's doorstep. He said to me, "He goes, the last one, I didn't even have to get tested because, you know, I had a dimple in the chin. I knew it was one." And I'm like, the amount of kids that I reckon Lazenby has, he could give all of his money to them and they'd still only get 10 bucks each.
So would you do, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm not going to give my kid any money, but I'm going to give all my money to Daniel Craig's kids because I feel like they're... I'm working on the trickle-down effect.
Yeah, that's right. I've got twin boys, so I'm going to give all my money to Fred, but not
that
to Lenny.
Not a nice thing.
Just feel that'll
twins.
Get a game going at some stage.
Because I have a child to a different lady, so it's like, when do I give him my inheritance versus do I just give all of it to my wife and hope it trickles down to both of them and all this type of stuff? Yeah. It's a very complicated piece when you've got kids with different people. Who to give it to when? And I don't want my bloody son to have all this money when he's 18 or some shit. I'll give it to him all, but not till you're 40. You have to, like you have, to have some lean years.
Do you remember, wind the clock back, and do you remember what a dickhead you were when you were 18?
Of course.
I was the world's biggest dick.
Of course. They gave me all millions of dollars when I was 18 because my father had passed away earlier. 18, you got millions of dollars. Yeah. I would have shouted the bar and paid off the cops and had a hell of a night. You know what I mean?
It's funny, isn't it? Because some kids you can see when you go to school have got that look like, I don't have to try out.
Yeah, that's right.
Mate, I don't care about this test.
Yeah.
My dad's loaded. Yeah. I'm going to be fine.
Makes no difference.
You used to see the other one going, nah, I need to get...
Yeah, I've got to work hard.
I need an A here.
Yeah.
Or I'm cooked.
A part of me that thinks, like, maybe if I make a lot more money, I could just give me son, just say to him, just go, this life's on me, mate. Just sit back and relax. You don't have to do anything. Just sit back. I hated getting up in the morning as well. I'm doing you a favour. But like society, you go, oh, you got to work hard if you want things. Not necessarily.
What about the idea? Here's some that they try these days too, where you go, I want to see you enjoy it, so I'm not going to wait till I'm dead. Mm. Just the kids go, good on you, Dad. Or there's the kid going, Dad, you know, why don't you just give me some now?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
50 now and 50 later, and we'll work it out. It's a complex negotiation.
There's nothing to break up sisters to never talk again like mum's ring. I've heard that my bloody mother and her sister, they never talked at the end because, oh, she got mum's ring and all that type of stuff. Yeah. Mum's ring can break up a couple of sisters ever.
There seems to be some kind of relationship, too, between the amount of money a man has earned and how his kids hate each other. So if your dad's gone down a coal mine for 14 hours a day and he comes home and you're pretty much putting food on the table, everyone seems relatively grateful. Yeah. Everyone seems to be, thanks, Dad, that's fantastic. Yeah, we'll split that. It's not a lot of food there, but here, you have the good bit and I'll have the sausages. Yeah. Now make a bit of coin and those siblings will hate each other to the death.
That's the tragedy of the rich. When you die, everyone's thinking about what they're going to get. No one's really missing you. They're just like, oh, God, I wonder what I'm going to get. I better be nice to him in the final few hours. You never know. You never know what I might do. Also, when you were saying with the whole kids don't get along, I always think to myself, like, okay, so I'll go out, I'll play a big bloody theatre, right, and I'll sell a lot of tickets, and I'll make the house some money, and I'll buy us all nice cars and shit like that. And then I come home and everyone thinks I'm a moron in my house. How do you think we got into this house with this moronic person? I suggest something and they go, that's stupid. And then my son's like, oh, Dad, what are you talking about?
Listen up, Australia. While Mick has a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
You remember that story a few weeks ago about an Irish shop that banned from taking money from customers that were pulled out of bras? It's a thing, apparently. We talked about it on air, and we got inundated with calls from women going, yeah, I put this in my bra, I put that in my bra. Anyway, we'll relive some of that coming up for you. So Denise Scott is going to weigh in on that conversation as well. She'll be joining us before the end of the show as well. And up next, though, we'll be talking about movies that describe Australia at this current time. Lots of fun. It's Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off here, Triple M. On Triple M all around Australia and also streaming on the free listener app, it's Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off. Denise Scott coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. Movies that describe Australia. Is it The Croods?
Scott Morrison likened Australia's COVID plan to a cartoon. The Croods on Channel 9's Today program.
Australians made it very clear that they want to move forward.
Okay.
Now, it's like that movie in The Croods. People wanted to stay in the cave. Some wanted to stay in the cave. And that young girl, she wanted to go out and live again and deal with the challenges of living in a different world. Well, COVID is a new, different world. And we need to get out there and live in it. We can't stay in the cave. And we can get out of it safely.
You meandered to an era I never in my life thought you would meander to.
I like the movie.
Is it like the Flintstones or something? Is
it? I don't know, mate. I don't have time to watch it. Clearly the Prime Minister does.
Croods.
He's sitting around a house with Josh Frydenberg, ordering pizzas, watching The Croods, going, how good's this? There they go. Imagine a going to a party at that joint.
Yep.
What film would you liken Australia's current condition to?
Yeah.
Duncan's on the line. Duncan, what's the movie for you?
Dumb and Dumber.
Bang. Dumb and Dumber. Sitting in that van, the dog van, but with a flag, with a government flag on the bottom.
On the front.
Just pulling up out the front of Parliament House, just in time for a press conference. Dumb and Dumber, wow, we've opened with a beauty. Not sure if we can top it. Jez is on the line. Jez, what are you thinking?
Yeah, how you going? Yeah, I reckon, what's her name? Titanic. Captain ScoMo. <on there. laughs>
Captain ScoMo? Yeah, but I have a feeling the captain doesn't want to go down with the ship, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He's more of a Scatino to me. The Titanic, this is an iceberg. Yeah. This is what we've hit.
Appreciate your ringing.
Colleen,
hey, Colleen.
Is on
Hello,
the line.
Nikki.
What would you think our current situation should be likened to as a movie?
Life of Brian.
And why is that?
Because you've got to look on the bright side of life.
Ah, yes. Look on the bright side. We be singing this. Oh, wait, this should be our national anthem.
You're right.
Right now, we're all so depressed. Turn it up, Dave. Okay. Let's listen to a bit.
All right. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your seat. Give the audience a grin.
Enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow. Everybody.
Come on. So always
look on the bright side. You've nailed it.
Listen, another thing. When they're at the rally and listening to all the people talking, shut up, big nose, because too many people in there sticking their noses in where they're not wanted.
Can I just say this? I showed my boys Life of Brian.
Did you? So,
which, again, I know
it's okay.
It's a little ambitious, and there's some stuff in there which mostly goes over their heads.
Exactly.
So they don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of biblical stuff there.
But I like to wean them into some good comedies. Their reaction they got it completely.
Fantastic.
They go, Dad, this is the best ending ever. Dad, this is a great movie. And the biggest dickest scene. I am telling you, for 2 9-year-old boys,
that's unreal.
Laughing in unison as everyone's trying not to laugh at a guy saying biggest dickest.
Biggest dickest.
That was the highlight of my weekend.
I remember when we had Eric Idle in on this show, and yes. I played that song to him, and he mouthed the song as he was sitting in the studio.
Here singing along with it.
I had an out-of-body experience.
I'd put it to you, that's the best end to a film. I'm going to open up another whole character worms here, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it's the best end to a film I know. It's not only one of the best comedies ever written, it's one of the best films.
So smart as well.
It's a musical. It's a comedy. It's a farce. It's a political narrative. It's got everything. But I put it to you, that's the best end to any film you'll see. If you know
good.
One better, I'm happy to discuss.
Good
but
call.
In the meantime, we'll keep dancing down here. All Peter, what's a film that best describes the Australian situation for you?
Mate, I've got Demolition Man, guys. Two worlds colliding. You know, you got the top end of the country trying to control us, and then and every time we make a move, there's a ticket that comes out of the wall and finds us.
Exactly right.
Hey, Mick's on the line. Mick, what are you thinking?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Why that one?
It's a massacre.
Massacre, though, Sonny.
That's it, mate. We're being mowed down in our beds, at home, in our sleep. Good on you, Mick. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, what film denotes our predicament?
Animal House.
Oh, Animal House. It's like a frat party gone wrong. That would be what it's like at ScoMo and Frydenberg's.
Oh, is that right?
Animal House. Imagine that, sitting around in togas. It's just... All right, Mick's got one to go out on, I think. What's our situation best described as in a movie?
It'd have to be Deliverance, wouldn't it? We're all on a paddle down a river. Who knows whether we've got the paddle or not. Going to our worst nightmares.
And could be about to cop one. up the clock.
It's Malloy's Rostered Week Off on Triple M. Time for some world news.
We're going to Ireland, Dave.
Righto. What's happening there?
Shop has banned customers from paying with cash stashed in bras during the heatwave.
Right.
As temperatures soar beyond 30 Celsius across parts of the UK, the sweltering heat has prompted one Dublin business to put an unexpected rule in place for customers. It seems as though shoppers are now ditching bags and using their bras as multifunctional money-carrying tools, like a bit of a wallet.
Inside your bra?
A buzzy wallet.
Stuff a few notes down there. Making it rain. I wouldn't have thought.
Over the shoulder boulder holder. That's now becoming a bit of a wallet. That was the one that cracked me up as a kid.
The over shoulder boulder holder.
Have you seen this? What's that? It's a bra. No, it's an over the shoulder boulder holder. The boys would laugh at days.
Oh, the bras and things catalogued.
Yeah, the bazookas. Keep the bazookas safe.
Norgs.
How juvenile. Still can Norgs you're Dave, days? You're leading the team.
I don't think we can. No, Whitney says no. Norgs, no. Okay.
Salt Lake Cities? Can't say Salt Lake Cities. Do not do it.
Right.
It's not funny.
That's very juvenile, and we're better than that.
But can I just say this, girls? It's none of my business, but when it comes to storing money, I tend to agree with the shop.
Yeah.
You can't just flip them out of the bra, between the bra and the bosom. On a hot day.
That's true.
Like, imagine if I just reached into my underpants and pulled out a 20 from under my scrotum. I mean, what? And handed it to the shopkeeper. Is that, You tell me how that is okay. I put it to you that there are certain standards of behaviour.
You're right.
Flipping a lobster out of the buzzies.
Yeah.
Has a time and a place.
And people are asking, no more cash anymore. People want the contactless payments.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do.
What?
If I was in the shop game, I'd allow you to produce the money from the bar and give it to me if I could put the change back in.
Okay.
And there's a little... A little something.
Triple M, it's Malloy. It's the Rostered Week Off. Mix back live in studio next week. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Amos Gill, talking about the best music videos of all time as well. You've opened a can of worms now, haven't you?
What do you mean?
Oh, talking about the over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
I was reporting a serious news story from Ireland.
Shops
bans customers from paying with cash stashed with bras during heatwave.
Right.
And women think it's some kind of... handbag.
Like a
bras is a second handbag.
Yes.
For a purse. You just stash stuff there.
I had no idea.
It was as common as it was. Joe's on the line. Joe, you've done this yourself on occasion?
Oh, all the time. From baby wipes to keys to whatever.
Keys?
Years ago. Car keys, kids' socks, whatever you find.
What are the keys in there for, though?
Kids' socks.
Well, they don't fall out. They'll fall out of pockets, but keys don't fall out of your bra.
Is this like a bra or like a sort of a hamper?
It's a bra. People think I have a double D. I really only have an A cup.
Okay.
All the other stuff that fills it in.
There you go.
Thank you. Whitney's joined us. Whitney, where do you stand on this issue? Have you?
It's such a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah. I feel like not so much now since, you know, you can pay contactlessly via your phone and whatnot. But before that, I would go for a run, stack $10 in my bra and my house key, my single house key in between.
But doesn't it dig into you?
Nah, because when you got your sports bra on, they don't really move. So it's pretty secure.
Really?
Nothing's fallen out.
Kids' socks?
I don't have kids.
Oh.
Why do you need the $10?
So on your way home, you get a coffee.
And you just pull it out.
You do kind of feel bad. It is a bit
you
sweet.
You have to rummage around and find it. Because I've seen women's handbags, right? And if you keep your bra like your handbag, there'll be coins down there. There'll be loose tissues. But I'll pack a Stimmer roll. A couple of tampons. I know how these things work.
Sometimes you put your debit card down there and you forget, and then you take your bra off and it's stuck to your chest. There it is.
So you could use the imprint of the debit card to actually, you could go into a shop
remember
and
my
just
card
put
number.
The thing up against
it. Touch and go.
You could just put it up against your boob.
I tell you what, if Hestia are listening, Hestia, which stands for holds every size in Australia, apparently. That's true. Look it up. They should put like a little zip on the bra. And you can put all your keys in.
No, way too much.
I've spent a lot of time on bras and things magazines over the years.
You're a burly man back in the day, weren't you? You used to get the burly brochure. And
oh, yeah.
I'll be back in a minute, ladies. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
That was fascinating.
Yeah, interesting.
And it's awful. I would, you know what I did once? I got a nipple ring. So I could put my spare house key on it.
Oh, my God. Have we never discovered this
before? So, you know when you come home and you're drunk and you don't have to look for it?
My key?
You don't even take it off. You just stick
there.
It in the drawer.
What if you don't take the key out and you go to keep walking?
These things happen.
I've just learned so much.
Yeah.
Raquel's on the line. Much. Let's take Raquel. What's Raquel up to?
Hey, Raquel.
Well, I'm just sitting here in a nice room with my air conditioning on, living in Cairns.
Living in Cairns. Now, Cairns would be a bit steamy to store money in the bra, I would have thought.
No, you still stick everything down there.
Right.
It just comes out a bit wet.
Yuck!
I think that's why Ireland's banning it.
What do you do? Do you just store cash there?
Business cards in there.
Here's my card. Wooshka.
No, other people's business cards. Okay.
Can I just ask what business you're in? Because you couldn't do that if he was a banker.
Or insurance or something.
So you take other people's business cards and put them in
there. Yeah, I stick it down my bra.
And you get home and the cards all damp and the ink's
running. But now they make the cards that are really, you know, shiny and perfect. It doesn't matter.
Sure. All right. Well,
and I've got socks down there as well.
Have you? Socks seem to be a thing.
Kate's on the line. So talk us through the contents of your bra.
I'm a wedding photographer, and I've actually lost a lens cap at a wedding where I had everyone hunting for it because I had it in my bra. I blame designers of women's clothing, because, I mean, quite often we're wearing dresses, there's no pockets, and there's actually no place to put anything, and so we naturally put it in our bra.
Now, Kate, did you deliberately put the lens cap in your bra and forgot it was there? Is that what you're talking about?
No, absolutely not. I just, you know, you get so busy and overwhelmed and it's a big day and it's just at the end of the day you're packing up and you're like, where is the lens cap? So, and it wasn't until I got home, I got undressed and I took the dress off and ping, it hits the wall.
Triple M, you're listening to Malloy. It is the Rostered Week Off. Tomorrow, Amos Gill and the best music videos of all time. Taking your calls on those. Missed any of today's Rostered Week Off show? You can always catch up through the Listener app or subscribe to Malloy wherever you get your podcasts as well, so you don't miss a moment. All right, Denise Scott is joining us.
Denise, this just blew up. Sometimes you can't tell where the audience are going. Mm-hmm. And we're telling a story about a woman who kept something in her bra.
Yeah.
And our phone's lit up with women callers, yes, who keep all manner of items from credit cards,
keys,
to stray notes, mm-hmm, to house keys, mm, cigarette lighters,
yes,
in their bra. And I was fascinated by the response.
Had no idea.
I've been straw polling around the office. Everyone's done it at some stage. Have you ever used your buzzies as a kind of wallet?
Well, this is...
Hello, John, if you're listening.
Yes. Well, this is an interesting question because I have indeed, you know, when you're 50 and if you're still alive when you're 60, the government send you the jar that you poo in. The poo,
yes,
kit,
the rectal test. Yep.
The bowel screening.
Yep. That's a big day. I won't put the letterbox jar.
Well, it is. It's exciting times.
Yes.
Well, so Judith Lucy and I did a show, and so as a prop, I had the poo kit jar, and right, I don't have any pockets or anything.
Right.
So I kept that in my cleavage. Ooh. So in the bra. So I have,
wow,
a poo. It's like a test tube,
yes,
if
yes,
you need
right,
a visual.
I'm aware.
So obviously it's not got the poo in it. This is just a replica jar. Mm-hmm. And,
not yet, anyway.
But the fascinating thing. The fascinating thing. I don't know why I keep putting my finger down my cleavage.
You're miming it at the same time. I can't stop staring.
To make sure you
know. Really distracting, Denise.
You know
stop
where
doing
I
it.
Mean. But the one time I came home, because I use it as my own, one and only prop in stand-up gigs, and I came home, you know, got undressed, got into bed. Of course, I'd taken off the bra, I put on a T-shirt, woke up the next morning and John said, what's that? And the poo kit jar was still there.
Hi, honey, we
in
need
place
to have a talk.
Between my breasts. Anyway,
wow.
God, we had fun at home, John and I.
And did he use it? He would have used that, and then you could have popped it back and you could have run it straight down the
in the envelope.
That's it.
Straight down to the hospital.